Hello, I am Jericho Spitz, and I'm welcoming you to the THC Show, Season 2, Episode 4, on April 20th, 2020. Still trying to get out of that habit, huh? So, I want to welcome you all to the show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching later if you didn't catch it live. Today's show is going to be a live ceremony celebrating 420. Hope that you've all gotten to your spaces, gotten your plant medicines of choice, more than likely Mary today, and have prepared yourself to indulge with us and enjoy a nice little discussion about one of our favorite plants, medicines. Anciently known as Kane Basam. Kane Basam. That's K-A-N-E-H B-O-S-M. That is the ancient Hebrew or ancient Aramaic pronunciation of the word phrase that they use to describe the plant that today we call marijuana or cannabis. In the Bible, it's located scattered throughout the Bible, various Kabbalah writings. Pretty much all of the ancient texts that were referring to anointing with holy oils and doing different ceremonies in the Holy of Holies, most of these texts describe mixtures of oils that contain cannabis oil, known in ancient times as Kane Basam. So today, in the United States, at least in many countries around the world, people who enjoy cannabis come together and celebrate this holy medicinal plant. So that's why we're dedicating today's show to a discussion about cannabis or Kane Basam. So, whatever you like to anoint your holy space with, whether that be smudging sage or Palo Santo, like I like to use myself as my personal favorite scent on the planet, I think. I actually bought Palo Santo deodorant and it was one of the best smells I've ever smelled and put on my body. But anyway, I hope you anoint your space with some nice fragrances. Not necessarily cannabis, we'll get to that. Or maybe you already did, it's 420, so you've probably been already doing that all day, if you're into that kind of thing. But I just wanted to just smell something really, really beautiful while I move through the show with you guys. I hope you guys brought your favorite crystal or some friend of the silicone family to help make the space more ceremonial and just higher vibrating for us. So while we have this discussion, so I'm actually starting this about 10 minutes later than 4:20 on Facebook Live because I tried to do it on Zoom, and after one person came in the room, my computer restarted. So rather than try to work on a problem that could take a while to fix, I figured let me just start it on Facebook Live and we'll do it here. And the only problem is people will have to comment their discussion while I reply by audio with mine. So let me just start the show off by, first of all, letting users who are listening to this on other places know where they can find us at. We're at thethcshow.com. We're on YouTube. You can find us by typing in the THC Show in Jericho Spitz, or I'm on the Jericho Spitz channel on YouTube. We're also at the... We're on Facebook in a Facebook group, and the Facebook group is it's THC Time. So it's facebook.com/groups/THC time. And we're trying to do every Monday, roughly 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We used to do 9, but we're moving earlier now because my schedule at home is changing and I need to be up earlier and go to bed earlier. So by 7 p.m. on Monday nights, I'm going to try to start the show, go for an hour, no more than 2, but usually we wrap things up in about an hour, hour and a half. So come back every Monday around 7 and we'll be doing this dialogue about higher consciousness and all things related, which we've been doing for about a year and a half, almost 2 years now. Started the show living in Chicago and now moved down to Orlando, but we're still keeping it going. And I'd like to welcome you guys to our home studio. Me and my beloved Michelle share this space. She teaches yoga here and I do my podcast from here and also participate in yoga. And we do ceremonies here as well, since we're both into higher consciousness and making that a priority in our lives by adding ceremony and ritual uses of consciousness to our lives. And all I can say is that the magic is real, and I hope that you guys are able to incorporate as much magic into your lives as possible. One way that we've all done that, I think, is using 420. The show was actually named after 420, as you can see. THC not only stands for talking higher consciousness, but THC in marijuana. So, while I don't actually, honestly, to be honest, I don't indulge on a daily basis in marijuana use like I have since I was 11 years old. You know, for the past 30 years, I've smoked quite a bit of marijuana, use it in various ways, but I don't use it as much anymore. I tend to make it more of a sacred thing now that I don't use for party time, if you will. So I actually, you know, quit drinking, quit all of that. So I kind of take care a little better care of my body now, and I just want to make sure that the things that I do take into my body or more ritual based, or either health based or ritual based. I don't really want to personally, not judging or not stereotyping anything, but I just personally ended that party part of my journey, and I'm moving into more of a ritualistic, moving towards the light on a daily basis kind of thing. Been doing more yoga, been doing a whole lot more with personal growth. And so I invite you guys to continue to dialogue here with me about the things that we're all going through and doing to achieve higher consciousness and to move towards just enlightenment in general. So today's talk, we're gonna make it about cannabis. So the topic of the show is Kande Basa, cannabis. And I invite anybody that would like to dialogue with this, with me about this, to please leave a comment. I see Stardust is watching. She says, happy 420. Happy 420, Starbucks. Thank you for joining the show. Nothing but love. We appreciate you being here. I'm sure that you're toasty at the moment, if I know anything about you. So, I'm going to give a little background about Kande Basa. So, there is a scholar who I believe, I want to say Czechoslovakia, but I can't really remember for sure. But there's a scholar who discovered that the word Kande Basa in the Bible, which was normally translated as cane weed or some other type of throw you off phrase that would not make you think that it's marijuana they're talking about. But in fact, marijuana is littered all through the Old Testament in the form of the Hebrew term Kande Basa or Kande Basa or Kande Basa, you know, think about it. So in Exodus 30, 23, this is the Revised Standard Version. It says, and I quote, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and of aromatic cane, 250. The passage above lists the ingredients in the holy anointing oil that was to be used by the priest to anoint the tabernacle and the priesthood. This topic may be a little controversial, but I think it is an important one, as a lot of people have asked me over the years if the Hebrew phrase kane basam, often spelled K-A-N-E-H-B-O-S-E-M, translated as aromatic cane in the verse above, is a biblical Hebrew phrase for cannabis, also called marijuana or hemp. When I'm studying a subject in the Bible, I always attempt to do so from a purely objective viewpoint, without taking on the role of a supporter or a detractor. This way I will not be tempted to enter my own personal bias into the study. So with this approach to biblical interpretation in mind, let's dig into the language and culture of the Bible to get at the truth of kane basam. And just so you know, I am reading this article by Jeff A. Benner, B-E-N-N-E-R. It's at ancient-hebrew.org/studies-words/facts/about/kane, K-A-N-E-H, hyphen B-O-S-E-M dot H-T-M. I'll put the link at the bottom of the screen when I go back and edit the YouTube version for this. But that's where I'm actually reading this article from. So I'm going to read a little bit more of this because I want you guys to have a background on where I'm getting this from. Yes, I do know that you are Stardust. Thank you. And I'd also like to thank you for patronizing me on Patreon, on my Patreon page. I do appreciate that. And for having a subscription to my anchor.fm podcast. Thank you so much. I do appreciate the support and all the love you've given me over the years. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Jim Wymore, another Patreon patron, Tanya Martinez, everybody who's been supporting my movement. I just want to give you a lot of love and support and say thank you so much. You are appreciated, and the movement does need your support. So if you haven't already, please go to my Patreon page, patreon.com/JerichoSpitz, and become a patron so that you can assist me with making more of this podcast happen and make it bigger and better for you guys. So that being said, I'm going to continue reading a little bit more of this article. The Hebrew word kane, which is Strong's number 77, literally means, according to Strong's and Brown Driver Briggs's reed or stalk. So kane means reed or stalk. This noun is derived from the root meaning to acquire, purchase, or buy. This verb is derived from the parent root meaning nest. The connection between all of these words is a bird's nest, which is made by acquiring branches, leaves, or reeds. The Hebrew word basam means, also according to Strong's and Brown's Driver's Briggs, it means spice or balsam, an aromatic resinous substance. This noun is derived from the root word meaning to be fragrant. So, there is no question that the Hebrew phrase kane basam is similar to the term cannabis, but is this a coincidence or the origin of the name of this plant? Notice that in Exodus 30:23, the word cinnamon, which is not a translation of the Hebrew, but a transliteration. In the Hebrew, the word cinnamon, which is the origin of the Greek word cinnamonon, the Latin word cinnamonum, and the English word cinnamon. Therefore, just as the Hebrew word cinnamon is the origin of cinnamon, it is possible that kane basam is the origin of the word kane basam, of cannabis. So cannabis and hemp, a form of cannabis, and are indigenous to the Middle East and was used for food, medicine, and clothing for thousands of years in the Middle East, Near and Far East. According to historical records, the Indo-Iranian people introduced cannabis to the Assyrians, Scythians, Thracians, and Dacians. The plant was also introduced to the Greeks, and the historian Herodotus mentions it. Therefore, it is conceivable that the Hebrew people were familiar with this plant. In conclusion, this is what we can say about the term kane basam. The Hebrew phrase kane basam can be defined as an aromatic resinous reed plant and is descriptive of the cannabis plant. Just as the word cinnamon is derived from a Semitic origin, it is possible that cannabis is also of Semitic origin. And three, cannabis was known and used in the Near East at the time of the Hebrew people. These are the facts concerning the Hebrew phrase kane basam, and as you can tell, there is no way to definitively say that it was or was not cannabis. All that can be said is that it is possible. Now, with that out of the way, I wanted to read that to you because I wanted to make sure that you understood what my reasoning was for being so sure, in my own mind at least, that this was the origin of cannabis. There's been a lot of different speculation and discussion regarding the ancient Hebrew use of cannabis, whether or not Moses used it, whether or not that was the burning bush. There's been a lot of different speculation in this area. One thing I would like to point out is that cannabis is classified as a psychedelic. So in high doses for some people, or maybe back then, who knows, maybe there was a much stronger strain and one hit made you get psychedelic and then Jehovah appeared. I don't know. I'm not here to give that definitive answer, but I am here to say that I personally have hallucinated on marijuana at a very high dose before, and I'm pretty sure that many of you will agree that that's a possible thing. So whether or not high doses of cannabis were used in the anointing oils in the Holy of Holies, as was mentioned in Exodus 30:23, I'll leave that up to you to decide. But keep in mind that when Moses used these oils, he's had communications with deity. So if this is something that could make that manifest, it's understandable why it would have been included in the anointing oils. And the reason that I brought this up and why I wanted to make kane basam the topic of today's show is to do my part in easing the stigma that marijuana has faced due to its illegal nature for the past half a century, at least in some places. But since the United States started this war on drugs and marijuana became illegal, us being the top of the totem pole, so to speak, makes it so that everybody else followed suit. And one of the best medicines, foods, gases, natural, you know, plants that we can have on the planet that has enjoyed a very serious, long, extended symbiotic relationship with humans, became something that was barred from our daily use at pain of jail. So because that happened, it's caused a lot of people who like to be on the right side of the law, to stigmatize marijuana as something that has negative undertones, or if not, just to be something that's outright negative, to the point of people being fired from jobs because they tested positive for marijuana use, or people being denied jobs because they tested positive for marijuana use, people being denied certain government benefits or being denied certain jobs. I mean, you can't even drive like tractor trailers or get a DOT commercial driver's license if you test positive for marijuana. This is something that in our culture has been so sustained for so long that now it's becoming legal in places. And even though it's legal in places, it's legal as a medicine pretty much everywhere in the United States right now. But I personally know people who will not indulge in it as a medicine, even though they have medical conditions that would qualify for the use of this plant to aid them in pain relief, nausea, different things that it gives you assistance with. And they are basically saying that they're not comfortable with it because of the stigmatizing that this has suffered for so long, and it's still stuck in the mind and in the collective culture of people of the United States and maybe of the world too. But that's the problem that I'm trying to do my part in assisting to overcome. When something is legal, it's legal. And if it's a medicine and a plant such as cannabis is, then it shouldn't be looked at with any disdain. It should only be looked at as a holy plant, just like spinach. It's a holy plant that gives us life. It brings nothing but nutrients and goodness to our bodies. So iron, all these different things, the same way that spinach can be looked at as being only good, this is how marijuana should be looked at, because there's really nothing negative about the plant at all, only if you abuse it. But guess what? You can abuse spinach. I'm pretty sure there's an amount of spinach you can eat that would give you iron poisoning. I'm pretty sure that if you stuffed yourself to spinach with spinach to capacity, there's a way that can harm you. Just like anything used out of moderation can harm you. So one of the reasons why I kind of cut down at least on my use of cannabis on a super regular basis, like I enjoyed for most of my life, is because I felt like I was abusing it rather than using it. And I say that because I believe that it's 100% possible to use a dose of marijuana that is at the ratio to your body that will allow you to perform cognitive functions in a normal, natural way, while still enjoying the benefits, the cognitive benefits that this plant, the plant Mary Jane can offer you. So now that I'm not smoking blunts or taking 20 hits of weed, you know, which I haven't done in some years now, but it's been a few years now that I've not been smoking like that, and it is definitely brought some serious changes to my life and into my clarity of thought, into my lack of procrastination now. It made me really realize how I can enjoy the benefits of it by using it not so frequently and not hinder my life and sabotage my life in ways that abusing this plant or abusing anything else could do. That being said, I think that once people understand and have made it a part of their culture to utilize cannabis in a way that doesn't incorporate abuse, but only healing and nutrition from it, and also the pain relief and freedom from nervousness and anxiety that it can assist with. There's a lot of different ways that this plant can help. So what I'm getting at is, if you're using it to help and you're not using it to run away from anything and you're not abusing it in any way, I see that as a blessing, and I see that as something that should be completely legal everywhere. And I hope that people are able to consider some of the things that I'm saying right now and add that to your repertoire of knowledge about this plant, so that as you have more passion for its beauty and holiness and sacredness, that passion can hopefully take away some of the negative connotation and disdain that might exist in our collective consciousness about this plant. So that being said, I'm hoping that you guys all indulged and got into a sacred mental space using whatever plant medicine you brought to the ceremony. And I would like to basically just start by making a prayer, a short prayer, to bless Mother Mary for all that she has given us. I see someone else just join. Thank you for joining in. I appreciate you being here. Say hi if you feel like you want me to say your name on camera. Anyway, let us pray. Oh, Mother Mary, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Goddess, for your love and all of the ways you have taken care of humanity over the years. We thank you so much for the healing. We thank you so much for the freedom from anxiety and pain that you bring to so many people around the world. We thank you so much for all of the myriad of uses that you benefit humanity with, and for sacrificing your body and your foliage and leaves and your buds and seeds so that we can benefit and have more love and light in our lives. We thank you so much for all that you bring us. And I hope that everyone out here celebrating 420 today enjoys your blessing, but does so with safety in mind and gets love and light from the blessing of having you nearby. I thank you so much. We give you this praise and prayer in the name of the Most High and El Kulum, the All. Amen. Now, if you haven't already partaken of your plant medicine, I suggest that now you do. It's a really good time to do that. If you give me just 1 second, I'm gonna go do that. I'll be right back. And thank you very much. So, I see that I've got a handful of people in the room, and I thank you so much for joining the show, new people. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Stardust. So, now that we've all got into a proper mental space, I would like for us to just spend a little time thinking about how much Mary Jane has meant to humanity. While I talk a little bit about something that will point you in the direction on getting some perspective on that. Michael Posner, I want to say that is the author of Botany of Desire. I'm going to double check right now. I'm so sorry, Michael Pollan. So there's a book called The Botany of Desire, A Plant's Eye View of the World by Michael Pollan. You can hear him talking about plants on YouTube, and you can definitely read the book. But the book, The Botany of Desire, is about four plants. And those four plants that each have a symbiotic relationship to humans. And for those of you who might not know, symbiotic means basically we help them, they help us. We need each other to survive. And what the book gets into is really, really interesting. And it's a perspective that maybe some of you might not have ever had a chance to try out in your thinking with regard to marijuana. This came to me some years back. A friend of mine, Heidi Keller, thank you so much, gave me this book. And it was really, really, really groundbreaking perspective for me, because I never looked at marijuana in a way where I felt like she had, I didn't see her as being an intelligent goddess that could orchestrate human behavior. And in this book, he talks about apples, orchids, marijuana, and I'm so sorry, not orchids, marijuana, tulips, apples, and potatoes. And he talks about these things so that you can, and he gives, I mean, he talks about these things giving you a perspective that, he gives you the plant's perspective. So it begs the question, by the time it's over, it begs the question, are we cultivating these plants? Are we domesticating these plants, or are they domesticating us? Did we domesticate them, or did they domesticate us? Do we think we're controlling weed so that we can use it, or is marijuana controlling us, making us plant it? making us cultivate her, making us evolve her, making, we're doing so much work as a species to assist this plant. And you have to ask the question, is she controlling us? Are we a slave to this plant to keep making sure that she exists forever? And so when that question was brought to me in this book, The Botany of Desire by Michael Pollan, it really blew me away because I had never thought about it like that. And then also potatoes, also apples. You know, apples make alcohol, potatoes can make alcohol. These are things that, you know, like the story of Johnny Appleseed that most people get when they're kids is, you know, they don't think about the alcohol aspects of it and making cider and all of this, but it's a really, really good book to read. I suggest you guys check it out if you get a chance. It'll change your perspective on plants. It'll definitely make you look at plants in a whole new way, and you will not see them as unintelligent if that happens to be your current mode of thinking with regard to plants. I know a lot of people who get mad when they see somebody hugging a tree or they see somebody talking to a plant and they think that's silly. But please, please, if you trust me, if you trust my word and you think that anything that I say might have some merit, trust me when I tell you that I personally have communicated with plants before and they are very highly intelligent. Many of plants are smarter than many of you or us, so know that they're not dumb. They're not at all. And there is a way you can communicate with them, and raising your consciousness will definitely eventually get you to that place. So I'm hoping that those of you who may not know just how intelligent plants are, get there. And one of the ways of getting there is gaining more understanding on what exactly our relationship to plants is. And, you know, reading The Botany of Desire is a really good step in that direction. Once I got into some plant medicines that were entheogens and gave me, they made it a documentary, Stardust. You're right. They sure did. The Botany of Desire. I hope you guys go check that documentary out if you don't want to read the book. I so lost my thought. But bottom line of what I wanted to get to is I know what I was saying. When I got to the entheogen part of my enlightenment journey, I was able to have much higher RAM and much higher access to parts of my consciousness that you normally don't have access to in your cognitive state. When scientists say we only use 5% of our brains or 10% of our brains, I contend that you use your whole brain, but that only about less than 1% of your consciousness is able to be accessed through the amount of RAM that most of us are programmed to be able to use at once. So I think that's what IQ might be, and something to do with like how smart are you, how intelligent are you? Well, it's about how much RAM can you use at once. You know, not necessarily about how much is in your memory, but about how much RAM can you use at once. And when you use certain entheogens, even marijuana, for example, but I consider marijuana to be an entheogen. But when people speak of entheogens, they usually mean the plant medicines that shamans and medicine men and women around the world use that are mind-altering, or they induce altered states that are usually described as psychedelic, or think that make you much more empathetic and make you have access to senses and that you don't normally have access to. So now that that's out of the way, I'll continue with where they took me. As I started doing entheogens, namely for now, we'll just say DMT, mushrooms, these kind of plant medicines can give you higher access to your consciousness, more access to your consciousness, who you really are. You are all of this consciousness. You are everything, and you just don't always have access to it. We are in this individualized state of being in a body and having an ego. But what these entheogens do is they dissolve boundaries and they dissolve ego. And once you dissolve your ego and you have access to the totality of who you are, your RAM is pretty much infinite. So you're able to see and feel and hear and have other senses and just knowings that will come with those altered states. And in those states, you're able to communicate with plants, telepathically communicate with other humans and animals and other plants and things like, and different beings from different dimensions that you'll also have access to. And when you get to that place, plants are going to blow your mind with their intelligence. When you understand that trees, you know, are holders of so much information, I mean, it's literally mind-blowing. It's literally mind-blowing. So I'm saying all that to say that Mary Jane, when people call her a goddess, when people call marijuana, cannabis, carne basum, a goddess, I hope that you know that she is, in fact, a goddess. She does, in fact, have a consciousness, and it is, in fact, very intelligent. So the question remains, did carne basum domesticate man to help her continue to exist, or did man domesticate carne basum to assist us in continuing to exist? To assist us in continuing to exist. So that's a really good question that I'd like to ask you guys, and I just want you to think about it, you know? And when you think about that, you're going to take that understanding and the understandings that you gain in that thought tangent, and you're going to want to apply those to other plants as well. Think about the plants that we grow the most of on this planet. Did they have anything to do with us continuing to harvest them? To domesticate them, to plant more, to go and we go and we dig up fields and do work, hard, backbreaking work, so that a plant, so we can produce more of a plant. So think about that. Think about that. A plant might be giving up its body for us so that we can have fuel, food, clothes, or various medicines, things that we want from the plant. But that's what the symbiotic relationship is. So how many plants are using us to propagate them? It's a really good question to think about. And so since, you know, the stoner mentality is to come up with really random, trivial questions to ask someone, like the high guy in the party is always like, dude, what if silver was red, you know, some silly question. Let this be one of those questions, you know. Are we domesticating marijuana, or is it domesticating us? That's where I wanna make sure that I redundantly get that question into your head so that you start thinking about it. And if you don't really know where to go with that, take some notes from Michael Pollan, who did The Botany of Desire. Watch the documentary. It'll probably make you want to read the book, but it's a very interesting place to go with carne basum. So I'm hoping that even though marijuana is becoming legal everywhere, I'm hoping that more and more people get the negative connotations out of their operating systems regarding marijuana, because she's definitely a goddess and there is no negative side to her unless she's abused. If you don't abuse her, then you will never have one negative iota of anything to say bad about the cannabis plant. It's only here to help. She's only here to help unless you abuse her. Water is only here to help, but it can be abused and it can kill you. You drink too much, you know, drown. So I'm saying that to say that I'd like for you guys to see her for the goddess that she is and help spread positive notions about her and help people to understand that the stigmatisms that we have concerning cannabis are all stem because of history that has been hidden from us. We are being hidden from the facts that cannabis was used by many ancient cultures in the past. And we are taking away a lot of opportunity from our children by not giving them full access to these types of plants for their own use and consciousness exploration, but also for food, for medicine, for gas, for clothes. There's so much that we've denied ourselves by not having this plant around on a legal basis, at least, so that it can be commercially viable. We've taken away and caused so much poverty on this planet by simply making this one plant illegal, by simply allowing people in every country to grow marijuana with impunity. Most of the poverty of this planet could go away, because she can grow just about anywhere. And if you can't grow her outside, you can grow her inside. But you can make so many different uses out of this plant that it really, really just saddens me when I think about how long it's been illegal and how long it's been denied and how much plastic had to be created because she was illegal. How many people had to die and have their bodies harmed by different pharmaceuticals that were toxic when used long term, but people had to use them for pain and for various things that could have been avoided had they been able to legally access marijuana. Half of the opiates that people have been prescribed in the past 10, 20, 30 years would not have had to even been prescribed to people if marijuana was able to be used as medicine legally. Think about how much further along, think about where we are today. People who are my age, I'm 44 years old, people around my age or anywhere in my vicinity will know and remember when hydroponically grown marijuana first came on the scene and how much higher it would get you than what we were all used to. When I was a young child, when I was 11, 12 years old, you know, in the late 80s growing up, weed was a lot less potent. It was 2, 3, 4% marijuana max back then. Now people have 35%, you know, THC content marijuana. And so it's staggering to me the amount of forward evolution, forward motion we've lost with regard to the marijuana plant, because she was not allowed to be researched and experimented with like everything else that has evolved over the years. I think, you think about, for example, computer technology. You know, 30 years ago, a cell phone was bigger than a laptop today. 25 years ago, a cell phone was bigger than a laptop today. Now, a cell phone is this big, and it's more powerful than any computer that was around 30 years ago. Now, or further, anything you could ever find commercially, on retail. Now, I'm saying that to say that the amount of research, Silicon Valley and Japan, all the countries in the world that have high technology and invest heavily in it, if they had just invested a tenth of what went into computer science in the past 30 years and put that into moving forward research, especially clinical research and experimentation using marijuana to heal the human body, to feed the human body, to replace plastics and not have to damage the earth with oil, and to use it to make ethanol, different fuels for cars, for vehicles, for planes. Airplanes could be flying off of marijuana. There's not anything in the world right now that we can't replace with marijuana. Plastics, I mean, clothing. It's really, really ridiculous how much the world has suffered and how much we've lost because this was illegal. So I'm just saying that to say that if we had 30 years worth of Silicon Valley money and placed into forwarding research for marijuana instead, how much further along would we be right now? We would probably have a pill small as, you know, a lemon seed that you could eat and take away pain like some opiate drugs might do today. but we're not there yet, and people are still having issues with chronic pain, and maybe and marijuana might not, and marijuana not being strong enough to take the pain away from them, because we've not been we've lost 30 years or more of access to researching it clinically. If we didn't have that loss, then you know we'd be a lot further along, and there would be so many more uses perfected by now that we're not going to see now for another 10 or 15 years or 20 years or 30 years, you know. But we're not going to cry over spilt milk. Hey, baby, come here, baby. We're not going to cry over spilt milk because, you know, looking back at the negative is not how you move forward and create a good future. So what we're going to do is we're going to think about the blessing that we have as a species to have it becoming legalized everywhere now. So let's be thankful for that. Happy 420. Thank you, marijuana gods, for making marijuana legal again. Now that we have that out of the way, we're going to envision a world where any child that is having seizures that marijuana could stop can have legal access to that. Any writer that's got writer's block, any singer, any songwriter that can't come up with the next line they need, any guitarist that just can't find a new melody, any artist that wants to create and is losing inspiration could take one toke of marijuana and change up the whole day and change up the whole game for them and start creating from a whole new mindset. And they can have access to that without fear of going to jail or losing money, being ticketed or something silly for having access to a plant that is something humans have grown for as long as humans have existed. We have full knowledge archaeologically that this plant has been around for as long as recorded history and even before that. Not only that, I mean other entheogens too, like it's very much known in the archaeology world that in 47,000 BC, 49,000 years ago, the recipe for ayahuasca, an Amazonian South American Shuar tribe originated concoction of plant medicine that will give you, for lack of a better term, an out of body experience, a journey into your psyche, a journey into other dimensions, and a journey into exploration of who and what you really are, and connecting you to Mother Earth and to the plants and to every other being and entity in the universe. That recipe for creating that that drink was known in 47,000 BC. We know this with archaeological proof to back it up. So if we knew how to make ayahuasca 49,000 years ago, then I'm pretty sure we had marijuana back then too. I mean, it's known archaeologically too. So I'm just saying that to say that what we've been told about these plants that make us stigmatize them so much needs to be reversed in our minds. And I'm just trying to make today's episode about educating ourselves about the goodness of this plant and why it's such a good thing and why it needs to be available to anyone who needs to use it legally with impunity. So I would like to, let's see, I wanted to mention that I will be back next Monday on the 7th and pretty much regularly, I think, from here on out, sitting right here doing the THC show with you guys. Me and my beloved have started an Instagram together. It's We Be Sacred, WebeSacred. So if you want to follow us on at We Be Sacred on Instagram, you can follow the journey of pretty sacred, really, really high vibrational relationship that is blossoming into something very, very beautiful for both of our lives, and we're very, very happy. And I just really hope that you guys follow our journey. I have not put the THC show on Instagram yet, but I think I'm gonna put it on IGTV. Stay tuned. I'll give you more information on that as that project progresses. One thing I'm going to be updating you guys on is a look at my garden. at our garden. We've been planting for about since March 22nd, and we'll be harvesting our first things this week. So it's been roughly a month, and since we planted about maybe 13 different vegetables and fruits. And the first things that are ready now are radishes. We're gonna pull those up, but it's looking really, really good. I'm gonna take you guys out on our balcony and let you guys see our home garden on the next show, so that you guys can see what we were working on and maybe get some inspiration to grow your own food if that is something that you can feasibly make happen. Some people have yards, some people don't. If you can do it outside, that's all the more better. But if you don't, you can do it inside like us. We don't have a yard, but we've made good use of the balcony to grow some a pretty good amount of stuff. I hope that that inspires you guys to want to do that, because I'm getting a lot of reports that the... Actually, I put one of them on the last show, but there was a reports from farmers around the country saying that they are being paid to close up shop, shut their farms down. Now, this is dairy farmers and also vegetation, produce farmers. So it seems like there may be an orchestration of a shutdown of the food industry here. And I'm not 100% certain on this. It's something that is ongoing research for me right now. But I will be looking more into this, and I'll report back to you guys with what I find after I've done a little more thorough research. But it looks like there are indicators closing, and people who have been farming are having all of this surplus and nothing to do with it. So it's just gonna, I mean, there's fields of onions. I'm seeing reports, videos of fields of onions just sitting there rotting. There's things that are just not getting to the shelves. And I know that this is gonna really upset the food infrastructure of this country. So if that can't be recovered from in time to if that's not orchestrated in time to avert, you know, drastic food price gouging, then, you know, we'll be lucky. But if not, you know, it would be real, real helpful if you had your own food growing so that you can offset some of the issues that we may face if there is a food shortage, God forbid. Now, I'm not trying to jump into that timeline. I'd really like to attract a timeline for this journey that does not include famine, that does not include the depression that many people are forecasting this country may experience soon. Let's hope that, you know, we can avert that. Let's hope that we can create some abundance and some love and prosperity for ourselves as a country, rather than what a lot of people are forecasting around the world. But, you know, I just try my best not to let anything in the news or anything that I'm hearing from some of these independent journalists that I follow get me down. It's really important to stay happy and to stay focused on love and light. And that's why Happy 420 can assist with that. So let's try to do that, and let's keep our heads up in this time of false news and crazy agendas that are throwing a monkey wrench in the program of our planet. But I do know that we shall overcome, that this is not the first time in history that we've been at a crossroads like we're at before, like we're at right now. But I think that seeing this as a phoenix moment in our evolution is paramount, and us coming out of this in a much better place than we went into it. And we came into this in a pretty shitty place, in my opinion. You know, we're a species with amnesia that is destroying the planet with a lot of technology and a lot of waste that is unnecessary. And I think that this experience is allowing us to see a little bit of that. And I'm hoping that seeing that has the impact of causing us to make some serious, drastic, much needed changes to our lifestyles, to our manufacturing and industry, to the technology that we're applying or allowing to be applied to our food sources with all of the genetic engineering. And basically, you know, we're eating so much food that has not been studied to find out its effects on the human body, especially long term, 20, 30, 40 years. We don't know what eating GMO, Monsanto corn is going to do to the human body that eats it for 30, 40 years. I mean, there are people studying this, but there, nobody with any credibility has been able to put out anything about this that is actually getting taken up by the mainstream. The mainstream media seems to be supporting RNA technology being used, you know, in negative ways and not reporting on it. Or, you know, basically, I feel like it's up to us to plant healthy heirloom food for ourselves and take as much of that responsibility into your own hands as you possibly can, because we are seeing a lot of people that we're putting our trust in as a country and as a species misusing that power and misusing that and taking backdoor deal dollars to fatten their own self up while making a lot of other humans starve and receive harm and receive toxins and receive toxic radio frequencies. And there's so much going on right now. And I really just think that if we focus on love and we focus on how we can help, wake up every day and ask yourself how you can help. How can I help humanity? Who can I help today? You know, I think that that's one of the biggest, best ways that we can overcome this virus and the state of affairs that we're in as a species right now, is if every single person on this planet, if you looked at the closest person to you that's less fortunate and you helped them, just help someone. Help someone less fortunate than you. And if every one of us did that, then the kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about will be on earth. Because we'll all be moving towards that Christ consciousness that allows for love to be everywhere. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that we all get to that point. I'm all about love and light, and I'm trying to share and spread that as much as I possibly can. And I hope that as many of you join in to that, jump on that train as possible if you're not already there. And if you're there, then please help me help others get there. Post in the group articles that you find that will enlighten us and that'll, you know, bring more awareness to the forefront. Please, you guys, post your videos, post your articles, or even just post up essays or little notes that you write up. But like, help me make this group a home for higher consciousness. So, and share it with anybody that you know that's on that mindset. You know, there's a lot of Facebook groups that bring enlightenment to people. And I just want this to be another one, a safe haven for people to come through and express their views. But we're not censoring anything here that is going to be censored by the mainstream media. You know, if somebody says something that, you know, may rattle a few tail feathers, it's controversial, but it's backed up by some kind of intellectual argument, then I mean, let's talk about it. That's what this is for, talking higher consciousness. We're going to talk about every single thing that we can talk about that could possibly help us achieve higher states of awareness, higher states of consciousness, and just an overall better life. So that being said, I just want to say happy 420 to all of you guys. I hope that you got something from today's talk about plant medicines, and especially most people's favorite, which is cannabis, or Kane Basam. So I hope that you guys had a good time with this conversation. I hope that you guys are smoking and having a really good time enjoying this 420. Get out, get some sun. Don't sit up in the house on this quarantine unless you really understand what's happening. You know, it's a lot going on. And I mean, well, I'm not gonna tell people what to do, but just, you know, you gotta do what you feel is best for your own safety. And I pray that you guys are all safe and happy. And I hope that you are okay during this time of uncertainty. But spend some time closing your eyes with a higher RAM, meaning whatever substance that you're using right now. Hey, what's up, Michael? How you feeling, man? Michael Elliott, blessings to you too, fam. Good to see you there, man. Thanks for joining the show. I just want to make one recommendation that for everybody who knows how to use the law of attraction. I'm not sure how much experience you've had using the law of attraction in higher states of consciousness, but know that I have had a lot of experience with this, to the point where I've been able to make things manifest, you know, really, really quickly. Like, you know, do a ceremony, use the law of attraction in a higher state of awareness, go to sleep, wake up within an hour, what I created manifested in front of my face. I mean, it was just, you know, so magical. So what I'm going to suggest is that if you haven't already and you don't know how to use the law of attraction, I suggest that you learn how to use the law of attraction, how to use your mind to manifest what you want in your reality. And using the law of attraction in a higher state of consciousness, being on an entheogen, cannabis being one of them, you're going to have more RAM, more consciousness power, more thought power, more energy behind the use of law of attraction. So while you're envisioning something and you're applying the emotion of appreciation to cause that to attract towards you, and while you become the magnet of what you're visualizing, you are applying the thought and emotion that powers the universe's ability to bring it back to you. So when you're doing that in a normal state of awareness where you have like 1%, let's say, or 5% of your consciousness at your beck and call, but you smoke something like marijuana, or you use another substance that is an entheogen, like some form of DMT or dimethyltryptamine, say maybe smoking dimethyltryptamine or changa, or using maybe ayahuasca, or maybe you used salvia or peyote, or even some of the research chems like 2CB or some of those things. If you're using one of those higher awareness substances and you stop and use the law of attraction while you have all of that extra RAM, I think you're gonna find some very interesting results, because that extra RAM means extra emotion, extra emotional energy to charge up the visualization. So if you can feel appreciation in your normal cognitive state for something, imagine how much more appreciation gets felt when you are under the influence of an entheogen in an altered state, and you are feeling appreciation with expanded consciousness. That's expanded appreciation. So more appreciation is coming into the visualization, which means that what you're going to manifest is going to manifest a lot quicker and a lot more precisely. But it takes practice to hone the skill of using the law of attraction and learning how to visualize and really create what you want. And so, especially to do it in a way where you know that you're doing it. And if you don't know how to do that, then all I'm going to say on that is incorporate mathematics into your visualization. Incorporate a number, incorporate a sign, a symbol, a signature, something that you can recognize when it manifests. And that's how you know when you're really doing it. And so, anyway, now that that's out of the way, I just wanted to make that recommendation that you spend 5 minutes getting somewhere quiet, undistracted, preferably in the dark, get comfortable, spend 5 minutes while you're high manifesting something for yourself or for someone else, even better. Manifest something for someone else, a gift of love. Bless someone else with your manifestation. Spend 5 minutes ask yourself, what blessing would I want for someone less fortunate around me? And then spend 5 minutes seeing them with that blessing. And how would you feel if you had that blessing? What would the blessing smell like, look like, taste like? What would it feel like? How would it sound? Visualize those things in your mind and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for having it. And then come back here and post what the results were, because I'm really, really curious to know. That being said, I just want to say I love you guys. Thank you for joining the show and being here with me, and also for following me on thethcshow.com and on YouTube and all over the internet where I post these at. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate you guys for patronizing me on patreon.com/JerichoSpitz. If you haven't already, please go there and do that, and that will assist me with producing more of these shows for you in bigger and better fashion. And I also want to thank everybody who's been following my music and knowing that it's been a journey and it's not over. I will be back with more music for you guys pretty soon. I'm working on some different stuff, so I think you're gonna like it. More love based, definitely more love based, but you know, it's always gonna have that lyricism that I'm known for. So be on the lookout for some new music for me. Also, the new Loan Me a Dime movie is still in the works. I hear Paul John is working furiously on getting the finishing touches put up on it, but I can't wait till it comes out for you guys to see it. But this movie that we're doing, that we shot, starring Richard Grieco, Paul John, myself, Robert Hovey, my guy Vito Diperte, Franco Braveri, even Stardust did a scene in it. There's a lot of people that you're gonna recognize. At least my Chicago fam are gonna recognize in this movie. I can't wait till it comes out. You guys be on the lookout for that too soon. Coming from Midnight Cinema out of Chicago. You can check out more about that at midnightcinema.com. And then you can just click on movies and you'll see the movie for Loan Me a Dime. We got a few other really good movies on there too that, like, you're gonna love, like Life is Lovely if you're into horror. There's a whole lot of good movies on that coming from that company, so check us out. Anyway, I just wanted to, that was a shameless plug, sorry, but anyway, I just wanted to give you guys a little heads up, you know, that I will be getting back down every Monday now, and I'm going to be trying to do this on the Zoom platform so that you guys can actually become a part of the show, which is what was supposed to be the intended setup for this, but it's been difficult getting to that place. So I'm gonna work it out with Zoom, practice a little bit before next week so that my computer doesn't shut down and reboot like it did. I have a really nice laptop, 16 gigs of RAM. I mean, there's no reason it should have been rebooting just because I had Windows Live open. I've done this for a long time. So long story short, we'll get that working and I'll get back with you guys on the next show, which should be roughly 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next Monday, the 27th, I think, April 27th, I'll be back. Yeah, so enjoy your night, enjoy your 420. Thank you guys for coming to the show, and I hope to see you back next week. Smoke, 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 and have a wonderful 420. I'm Jericho Spitz, and this is the THC Show, Talking Higher Consciousness. I will see you next time. Enjoy.